Luke chapter 23, if you have a Bible with you. Luke 23, verse 33 and 34. One of the most powerful portions of Scripture that I believe has ever been penned. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, Golgotha's Hill, a place called Skull, there they crucified him, meaning Jesus. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. There were two men, one on the right and one on the left of Jesus when he was crucified, two thieves, which we all know that story very well. During the crucifixion of our Lord, he uttered words that are transforming. He uttered words that are life-changing. He uttered words that would take us from being in bondage to being released and being set free. I want to talk to you this morning about forgiving. And in our little message this morning, that he did what was that he forgave them. Ethan, that he forgave them. These ones who had beaten him, these ones who had mocked him, these ones who had ridiculed him, these ones who had literally laid scars upon his physical body that he was unrecognizable. History tells us that the beating that Jesus took to the cross of Calvary was so bad that his physical appearance, his physical countenance was unrecognizable. In other words, you would not have known it was him had not you already known. Because to look at him, you would have never recognized him. I've been in hospitals. I've been in emergency rooms. I've been in ICU units. Where I've been in trauma units where I have seen individuals. I was in one day with a relative of mine who was in such a severe state, was electrocuted with such a high dosage of power that the doctor said that should have killed anyone instantly. It literally went through one side and blew out his chest and his back on the other side. They said had it gone through this side and out that side, it probably would have blown his chest out of his body. His body was literally 2.5 times the size that his normal body was. It was swollen beyond recognition. James, I had never seen anything like his head was swollen. His body was, he didn't even look human. It didn't look real. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a situation like that. I've walked in and seen legs gone. Bodies swollen and battered, bruised beyond recognition. I've walked in and looked and turned around to walk back out, only to realize, no, it was the right person. They just didn't resemble the person that I knew. The beating that he took, but yet conscious and aware. These same ones who whipped him to where there was very little flesh connected to flesh. Body torn, flesh ripped. Hair pulled from his head and from his beard. Those of you with a beard, could you imagine for a moment somebody coming and grabbing a hold of your beard and yanking it, pulling the hair out of your face? Just pluck an eyebrow and you'll understand. Huh? Come on. Get one of them crazy nose hairs. You know, that happen after you get 50. And pull one of them things out. You will understand the amount of one little hair, the pain that it can inflict. But yet they ripped the hair from his beard and slammed a crown that was woven of thorns upon his head that dug deeply into his skull. I was doing some work in here one day, and What were they ever thinking when they did this to the ceiling? My God. I was up there changing a light bulb and I stepped up on the ladder and, oh, literally was impaled. I had blood dripping down my head. Honestly, from the stalactites and stalagmites from the ceiling. I'm not kidding you. Anybody here ever been stuck by one of them? You ever been up there? There's a few of you. Whew. You learn real quick to stay low. I can't imagine something even stronger than that. Beggar crushed down upon my head. But yet in the stillness of the moment, that's where he was. And his life flashing before people's eyes. And unbelievable torment, and pain, suffering. And he utters words that will transform and change all of eternities. In the midst of that pain and suffering, he cries out, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Every one of us that are in this room this morning has been wronged, offended, sinned against at some point or another. Anyone here never been hurt by anyone? Let me see your hand. You've never been hurt by anybody. You've never been disappointed by anyone. No one's ever done anything that has wounded you in your life. We all carry the scars and the bruises and the difficulties and the pain at times of the hurt that we have endured. But yet this one who we call Savior, he endured for our suffering. He took that upon himself. He took our suffering upon himself so that we would not have to endure it. And in the midst of his suffering, he cried, Father, forgive them. And then the key to his Father, forgive them was this, for they know not what they do. And the very ones who he was praying for, they parted his garments, and they casted lots for his clothes. They were gambling to see who would win his clothing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How are you and I to respond to those that wound us, those who hurt us, those who inflict pain upon us? Certainly not to the depths of what this man face, certainly not to the depths of which Jesus suffered for our sins, but still our pain is real, isn't it? Our hurt is real. The disappointment that has happened in our lives at times is so devastating to the point where sometimes we don't even know if we can function or go on. And there are some of you here today that have even suffered greatly. You have been at the hand of someone who has wronged you in such a harsh way. Such a demeaning way, and such a hurtful way. But you are still here. That's the good news. You are still here. You are still breathing, and you are still alive. And what will you do from this moment on? Because I believe today is a transformational moment in your life. I believe today is a day that can propel you into the great things that God has for you, or you can be continually held back by the pain, the disappointment, of the heartache, and the unforgiveness that you've carried. Unforgiveness and the lack of willingness to want to forgive is a great sign, and you must know this morning, and I love you, that's why I'm going to tell you. We think if we hold it against somebody that we have the power, that we're being strong. No, the one who cannot forgive is weak. Because the power of God gives us the strength to forgive. Because he forgives, and if he can forgive, then we are to forgive. It doesn't mean you're weak if you forgive. It only means that you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Some of you grew up in family situations that you dare would even tell some of the things that transpired in the closed confines of your home or maybe bedroom. There are some of you that suffered beatings at the hand of a loved one or abuse at the hands of someone who was to be your protector, but they were a tyrant. They were an abuser. There are some of you here today that have suffered great loss at the hands of someone who did something, someone who didn't step up. Karen, they didn't step up. They were supposed to love you. They were supposed to protect you. They were supposed to shelter you. They were supposed to be your safe place. They failed. They failed. But by your unwillingness to let that failure go, you are being held in chains of bondage. You can never truly become what God desires for you to be, nor accomplish what God desires for you to accomplish if you are shackled in the chains of that abuse or that hurt or that disappointment. And I am by no means making light of, because the seriousness of what has happened to some people is tragic. What happened on Golgotha's hill was beyond words. We cannot even begin to fathom what he did for us when we were yet sinners. And he cried out, "Father, forgive them because they don't know." We've all been offended. According to Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Colossians 3:13 proclaims, "Bear with each other and forgive." Bear with each other and forgive whatsoever grievances you may have against one another. My God. Bear with each other. Sometimes it's not easy to forgive. Sometimes it's hard to release and let go. How many of you would agree with me? It's hard to let that go because the pain, and even maybe now during my talking about it, has resurfaced some things in your life, and you're rehashing some things in your mind that has transpired in your life. And maybe that's a good thing, because maybe today you can just lay it down. Maybe today you can just let it go. Maybe today you can say, "Father, forgive that person because they didn't know what they were doing." Bear with each other. Forgive whatsoever grievances that you may have one with another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And the key in this verse is that we will look. We will look and we will forgive others because God has freely forgiven us. Who here today hasn't been forgiven? If you've come to Jesus Christ and you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says He takes away the sin. He removes it. You're forgiven in Christ. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you'll not make another mistake the rest of your life. Doesn't mean you won't do something that you shouldn't have done at some point or another in your life. But you are forgiven. Isn't it amazing, Nate? He forgave you and knew you were going to screw up again. That's love. Huh? Michelle, that's love, that somebody could love you enough to know that you're going to mess up again in your life at some point or another, but I'm going to love you anyway. That's love. Have any of you ever experienced that kind of love? Well, in Christ, and I got to tell you, there are many people sitting in buildings like this today that claim to know the Lord that do not know that love, because they've never really truly experienced. It's not that He's withheld it. He's given it, but they've not received it. Sometimes we don't receive that because we think we're unworthy because of whatever has happened to us or whatever has transpired makes us so unlovable. That's what the enemy will say. You are too bruised. You are too broken. You are too much of a mess. You can't be cleaned up. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Calvary was a mess. The Son of God was a mess on Calvary's hill, James. He was a mess. Isaiah said he took upon himself the sin of the world. He had it on him. And he came, lived so that we could be set free, so that we could let it go. Say that today. Say, let it go. We could just let it go. We could release it. And I know even in saying that, some of you are saying, I just can't. You're right, you can't. But the power of the Holy Spirit working in you can. God in you can release that. No greater love hath a man that he would lay down his life for another. And that's exactly what Christ did for us, so that we would not have to walk in the cancer of unforgiveness, the disease and the rottenness of unforgiveness, and how it will decay us and rot us and cause bitterness and the root of bitterness and the root of anger to creep up inside of us to cause us to become miserable and grumpy and hateful and spiteful. That's not the body of Christ. That's not what he's bled for. That's not what he died for. He died so that we could be released from that, so that we could walk in the joy of the Lord, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength, that we would mount up with wings like an eagle. In other words, that we would soar above the bad things and the hurtful things and the tragic things in our life. I know what I'm talking about. I stand before you repaired of the Lord. Because I was broken. Don, I was broken. But because he was broken, I was able to be made whole. I'm not telling you something I haven't experienced in my own life, George. I know the wonder-working power of this God that we worship today. That's why I come here week after week after week, as I have since I was 12 years old, into the house of God, because I understand the grace and the mercy and the love and the forgiving power of Almighty God. I know He can make all things new. I know He can take the broken and He can do amazing things. I know He can take the simple things of the earth and confound the wise. He is a great God. Why do we forgive? It's real simple. Because we have been forgiven. Our forgiveness to others, George, is a reflection of His forgiveness to us. Our forgiveness of others is a reflection of God's forgiveness to us. And to withhold that forgiveness to someone else is to deny the great grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness of God in our own lives. To forgive those who have sinned against us, it requires patience. Bear with those. Patience and forbearance. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth. Right before I came in here this morning, I felt the necessity to add this into my notes today. It had not been there prior to this morning. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You say, well, that may seem to be an odd verse in the midst of forgiveness. Yes, it is. But it's powerful in context. Because although we forgive, there are moments. Let me just say it like this. If I loaned my car to Danny, and Danny goes out and ties one on, and in a drunken stupor, he wrecks my car around a telephone pole. And I forgive him. And I say, Dan, you know you screwed up, but brother, you gotta watch yourself, you know. And I lecture him, you know. And then, how many's ever gotten a good lecture from somebody? And then you say, I forgive you, Dan. I forgive you. And 2 weeks from now, Dan comes up and says, Hey, Pastor, can I borrow your car? You know what wisdom says to me? I love you, brother, but I'm not going to give you my car. I love you. Let me tell you something about wisdom. Wisdom will not allow you to put yourself back in the same position that you got hurt. You don't take someone who cannot handle being with children and put them with children. Come on now. We are to be wise. We are to have wisdom. Does that make sense to you? If someone abused you when they were left alone with you, then wisdom says, don't be alone with that person. Come on. That's wisdom. Are we to forgive them? Yes, we are. But wisdom says, do not allow them to do it to you again. Be wise. Be harmless as a dove in forgiving, but be wise as a serpent in protecting. Does that make sense to you? And that has nothing to do with, and you know, I'm even going to correct myself because I have said this in the past. I've said, when you forgive somebody, you just got to forget. You know, I've learned in my life there are some things you ain't going to forget. You just won't forget them. As badly as they hurt, as bad as those wounds are, as much as you've released it or whatever, it's etched. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've given it to God, 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 and you've given it to God. But something happens and all of a sudden a thought pops in your mind. Have you released that person? You probably have. But is the memory of that wound still there? Very well may be. And sometimes that's for a protection for you. Sometimes it's to guard you, to remind you not to allow yourself to be put in that same position again. That has nothing to do with your forgiveness of that thing. You can forgive something. You can release. Somebody stole $1,000 from me. Would you forgive them? Yeah, I'd absolutely forgive them. Would I give them access to my wallet? No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. Would I trust them with my Mac card? No, I wouldn't. How many? You understand what I'm saying? So you can release someone, but 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says that we're to be patient. We're to be patient with each other. We're to be patient in knowing that we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Who here is without sin? Anyone? Nobody? Even in Matthew 5:39, Jesus said, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, then turn also the other cheek to them. How many of you are a reactionary? You react quickly to things. I didn't look because I didn't want to see who you were. I had my head down. Because you got to learn to get out of that. I wrote in my notes, this is what I said in my notes, not every slap in the face needs a response. Not every slap needs a response. I had you all up until that point. You just right now like, wait a second, man. Somebody slapped me, I'm coming after them, man. They're going to get it. To forgive those who have sinned against us requires the transformational power of God working in our lives. There is something deep rooted within fallen humanity, our nature, that we want to thirst after revenge. We want to retaliate. Sometimes when somebody wounds us with their words, the best thing we can do is be still and be quiet and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm telling you, it's transformed my life. There are times that you want to react, but you got to pause. You got to have patience. You got to have forbearance. You got to say, "Wait a minute. I got to persevere through this thing, because if I act with a knee-jerk reaction, every time I act with a knee-jerk reaction, it's wrong. And I usually make a situation worse." Have you ever? But there is something deep within us that has this overwhelming desire and want and need for revenge. To get back at. You wound me, I'll wound you. You talk about me, I'll talk about you. We want to inflict injury to those who have injured us. We say, "You got me, I'll get you." We may not even utter those words out loud, but we act that way. Because after all, doesn't it just seem fair? You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You wound me, I'm going to wound you. You steal from me, I'm going to take from you. You do this to me, I'm going to do that to you. But don't forget, in Christ, we've been given the power to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, to bless those who persecute us, and to pray for those who abuse us. You'll find that text in Luke chapter 6. Go ahead, Stan, pull that up. Luke 6, 27 through 28. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through verse number 28. "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them that" what? "Hate you." Go on to the next one. "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." Love your enemies. Do good to those that are haters. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. See, only Christ can give us a heart that's willing to forgive. Only Christ can give us a heart that's willing to forgive. Forgiving those who have hurt us becomes made easier when we consider and we think about and we ponder to the extent of which Christ has forgiven us our transgressions. "Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our..." People pray that on a daily basis but never do it. How many times has a person prayed, "Father, forgive those that have harmed me. Forgive them of their debt as you forgive." But we don't. We don't really do it. Why? Because they become words without action. We don't connect with it. But it is when we connect with it, George, that it becomes a reality within our spirit, and then it becomes application in our lives. We've got to connect with the word. It becomes plain and simple to us, and we apply it into our natural everyday life. And only the Lord can give us a heart that can forgive. When you've been lavished with grace, you realize you have no legal right to withhold grace from someone else. We have sinned against God way greater than any man could sin against us. But yet the grace and mercy and love of Almighty God has washed us clean. Are you thankful for His grace and His mercy today? Are you thankful for His almighty hand that works in your life? Are you thankful today for the wonder-working power of the cross of Calvary and how He has forgiven you? 1 John 1:9, Barbara. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful. What is God? If we do what? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we will confess our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if God has promised to forgive us, how is it that we can, when He so freely grants it to us, if we confess? Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it, Cherry? If we just confess. Isn't if you confess and you bring three sheep and a goat and a lamb and $150 and you come at least three Sundays out of four and you muster up a Wednesday night in between there? No, that's not what he said. He said, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us. So if He is faithful to forgive us and His Spirit lives in us, is His Spirit not willing to forgive those who have sinned against us? Luke 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. Luke 17, verse 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. And if he repeat, forgive him. Verse 4. And if he trespasses against you seven times in a day, we better make sure we're reading that right. And if he trespasses against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt, what? Forgive him. Basically, what the Lord is teaching us is about His grace and His mercy and His ability to forgive. And He's saying to us, why will we withhold against others when we ourselves have been lavished with such grace and such mercy and such forgiveness? There's a powerful story in Matthew 18. In verse 23 and 24, Barbara, you can put it up there and scroll through it if you'd like. From verse 23 to verse 24, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit down through this. There's a parable about these two individuals, and one had owed a great debt, and the debt that he owed. And so many times, people become so focused on the amount of the debt. The amount of the debt really isn't the important part of the story. But just like most times, we get caught up in the things that aren't important. Love is important, so we don't get caught up in that love is important, and we get focused on what we think is important. And in this story, everybody tends to want to focus on the debt. Well, I'll just put it to you real simply. One owed the guy, his master, roughly anywhere between $1 million and $2 million. The other one owed him just dollars. The one who owed a great amount falls before his master, and he cries out to him to forgive him of the debt that he owes him. His heart is moved with compassion, and he forgives the man who owes him like over $1 million. How many of you today would just forgive somebody that owed you $1 million? Just wipe it out. Just forgive it. So that guy gets forgiven, and he walks away, and there's a guy that owes him some money. How many have ever been to SeaWorld? There's a skit in SeaWorld, and I can't remember the sea lion's name now, but he comes up on the stage and they're doing this funny skit, and every time the handler comes up and goes like this, he goes, Urgh! You know, he puts his hand around his throat, he goes, Urgh! If you've ever been to SeaWorld, it's really funny, you got to see it. But anyway, and if you think they're abusing animals, I'm sorry, it's just a funny thing. Every time they go, Urgh! He makes that noise. This guy who owes just like a few $100, Ethan, he goes to the guy after he's been forgiven millions. He goes to the guy who owes him a few $100 and he grabs him by the throat and he starts choking the guy. Somebody's like, yeah, I'm down with that guy. That's my man right there. This guy has been forgiven much. And he goes out into the one who owes him little. He is not willing to forgive him at all. And so the people that witnessed the story, they go back and they tell the guy who forgave him. And he's like, oh, wait a minute, I'm reversing my decision here. I'm reversing my decision. Because if he can't forgive him, then how can he expect me to forgive him? How can we expect the Father to forgive us if we're not willing to forgive others, when his grace, mercy is lavished on us, but we're willing to withhold from someone else? I'd rather see him burn in hell. Well, the truth of the matter is, you've never really had a glimpse of hell. Because if you really truly had a glimpse of hell, you would never want anyone to go there. No, I'm serious. Because sometimes we joke about hell. We go like, oh yeah, he's so bad he'll sell air conditioners in hell, and you know, stuff like that. No, really, hell is a bad place. The scripture says it's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a horrible existence. It's a horrible place. There are some people that believe you're in all the hell you're ever going to get right now. You believe this is hell. No, I can tell you, it get a whole lot worse. The point of the parable is that Jesus is trying to teach us that we're to be merciful. And especially to that one who's been forgiven a lot. If you've been forgiven a lot, should you not then be gracious and forgiving a lot? If you've been, I know this is hard. I know some of you shut me down 5 minutes ago. Because you're like, I am not. I don't care how good this sermon is. I don't care how many times you told me Jesus said it. I am not Jesus. Well, I know you're not, but his spirit's supposed to dwell in you. So if his spirit dwells in you, come on now. If he has lavished us, only a weak person will hold on to it, because they lack the understanding of the freedom and liberty that will come to them when they release that. What I have found out in my life is usually the one holding on to the thing, the other person has already moved on. They don't even think about you. But you waste how many hours of a day or a month or a year focusing on what they did to you, and they're off doing their own thing. They're not even thinking about it anymore. But it's destroying you from the inside out, because you just keep. Peter asked the Lord one time, how many times shall I forgive? 7 times? He was thinking, hey, I'm going to be pretty good. But Jesus answered him, not 7, but 70 times 7. Holy crow. Now there's some math for you, huh? Wow. What is the Lord trying to say to us here? Forgive! It's real simple, guys. It's just real simple. He's just saying you can't carry hatred. You can't hold bitterness. Excuse me. Boy, this goldenrod's really getting me. We got to forgive. And Jesus is just teaching us about the kingdom. There ain't going to be any unforgiveness in the kingdom. We can take some very important principles from this parable and apply them into our lives. He forgave us much. How much more should we forgive those who have sinned against us? The one who's been forgiven much should forgive much. Very simple. Grace and forgiveness have no limits. Do you know that? In other words, really what Jesus was trying to say to him is stop counting the offenses. Because he forgives, so we should forgive. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Romans 5:8 says that yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We've received much grace, much mercy, much forgiveness. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, For by grace, you are saved through faith. and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace we are saved. The first servant owed a great debt, could have never paid that debt. But he was forgiven. And even out of his forgiveness, he was unwilling to forgive others. There have been times in our life where God has met a need in our life, but we've been unwilling to help meet a need in someone else's life. God's done something great in our life, but we've not stepped up to the plate to do something for someone else who is in need in their life. When someone offends or sins against us, we should very simply be willing to forgive them with a heart of gratitude for the grace and the mercy and the love in which we ourselves, who were debtors, have been forgiven. And I want to tell you something. When you allow yourself to connect with his words are life, his words are truth. And when you are willing to connect with his words, the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Do you believe that today? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We sang today, these are the days of Elijah. I wrote in my notes when God was giving me those songs, if these are the days of Elijah, then it's time we start acting like the Elijahs of today. If these are the days of David rebuilding a temple of praise. Do you know what your temple of praise is this morning? Just what we were doing as we were singing. It was a temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are worshiping him from your temple. Building him a temple of praise. If these are the days of David, then let's rebuild him a temple of praise. Just as Elijah's call to the people one day required a decision, so will the call that's going to come to you today require a decision. Not to decide. Not to decide is to decide against. We either decide to or we decide against. Our ability to decide today is ours. God gives it to us. It's up to us whether or not we connect with his word. Will we connect with his word today? And will we desire to let go of the unforgiveness that we've carried in our life? Release that to God. Bless those who have persecuted us. Pray for those who have harmed us. Can we be the Elijahs of today? Can we be the Davids of today? Can we be the Ezekiels of today? Because, Karen, if we will really connect with this message, then the dry bones become as flesh. If we will connect with the message today and respond to the message of God and forgive the grievances that have happened to us. And again, be as wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove. There are some people in my life, I'm very careful how close I let them. You know why? Because they've abused that privilege. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Wise. But yet we release them. We don't hold it against them. We don't think about it. We don't try to come up with ways that we can get them back. We let it go. And we don't rejoice in the fact when something does happen. You know, we say, oh, I wouldn't do that. But then you hear something happen to somebody who wronged you and you go, I knew it was coming. I knew they'd get theirs. Almost like we just put some whipped cream on top of it. Whew, yes. Score one for the kingdom. Ha ha. You got him, God. God's mercy and grace are so much greater than that, aren't they? Worship team, come on. I'm going to invite you back to the platform this morning. If you're here today and in light of the cross of Calvary, I did this many years ago, and I pondered doing it this morning, but I just didn't feel the real release to go ahead and do it. But I did this one time before, and I'll tell you what it was. Everybody came into church. I gave them a little index card. And then at some point during the message, similar to this message, not same message, I asked them to write down something that they had unforgiven somebody for, they had not forgiven somebody for, or whatever the thing was that they were carrying in their heart. And I had a bunch of nails and hammers laying up by the cross. And I asked people to just come up and nail it to the cross, nail their thing to the cross. But I didn't feel a release from the Lord to do that this morning. But are you willing to lay down any unforgiveness that you may have in your life? And I want you to think just for a moment. I just want you to think for a moment. Because this week I had to go back and I had to say to the Lord, before I could ever come out here and talk to you, God, am I square in this? Am I okay? Is there anything that I'm carrying that, because if there is, I want you to reveal it to me. I want you to show me something. And you know what? Don't ask him if you don't want him to show you. Because he did. I thought I was good. You know, I thought, oh, I'm good. I just forgive everybody and I love everything. And Danny, I'm in my office. I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm good. I don't. And all of a sudden, this thought came to my mind. And as soon as that thought came to my mind, the smile, Jerry, went off my face because I realized I had not let that go. I had not let it go. I'd done really well with a lot of things, but there was that one thing. There was that one thing. Maria, it must have been tucked way back in there. But the enemy was going to bring it out at some point. He was going to use it at some point. And I was willing to come before the Lord and say, God, is there anything? Clean me out. And man, I was feeling real righteous, like, woo, I'm good. And that thought came to my mind, and I thought, God, the grace and the mercy that you have lavished me with, it's amazing. I let it go. I let it go. I want to present that opportunity to you this morning. To let it go. To hold it will not make you strong. It'll make you weak. To let it go will set you free. Come on, will you stand with us this morning? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you today that God will help you. And that there is something there. He'll reveal it to you. I'm asking God to reveal it to you. There may be more than one thing. There may be a whole laundry list for some, you know. There have been times in my life, there have been multiple things. You may have like a whole Christmas list of unforgiveness. But I want you to think about it right now. And I want you to all, in all honesty, say, God, will you clean me out of unforgiveness today? Will you clean me out? Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Father, I'm asking you right now, not for the sake of hurt or harm, but Lord, if there is any unforgiveness in your children today, I'm not asking you to judge up the memories, but Lord, I'm just asking you to reveal to them that they've not let something go today. Because I know you've laid this on my heart because you desire to set your children free. You desire for your people to be free. Because it is when we are free, we have the fullest ability to accomplish what it is that you desire and will for us to accomplish. But when we hold these things, we can never fully step into what you desire for us because we are bitter, we're angry, we're frustrated. And today, Father, I believe in just a stillness of a moment, you can wipe that away. So the decision is this. Will you step out of that place that you're in this morning? And we do this as a symbolic reason. I believe God directs us this way to be symbolic of leaving what we were in. Can you step out of where you are this morning if you've got some unforgiveness in your life that you need to lay before the Lord and say, God, I release it today. I'm letting it go. As soon as we begin to sing this song that the team has prepared for us, as soon as they begin to sing, don't hesitate, because at the moment of your hesitation, you will begin to doubt the connection that you had with this message this morning. Don't allow the enemy to do that to you. Step out from where you are, come to this altar, we're going to pray a prayer together and ask God to release those things so that you will be set free.